Epistle of Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10, to chapter 4, verse 8. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jessica, very much. Let's pray together. Father, we've asked in song that you would speak to us, and so we ask in prayer that indeed we would hear your voice, and hearing your voice, we would respond. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been working our way through 2 Timothy in our morning services, and we've seen as we've gone through that Paul is equipping Timothy because he knows that actually being in Christian ministry, and Timothy was going to have to be in that without Paul's help, is not always easy. That standing up for the truth of the good news of Jesus is not always easy. And actually, we see in this reading a theme that we started with last week, that actually that in the visible church there are a mixture of people, some who will teach truth and some who will not. Archbishop Cranmer knew that when he was writing the articles, and we looked at one of them last week, and I want to read one of the other ones. I think it's number 6. I didn't write the number down. It is this: Holy Scripture contains all things necessary to salvation. In the name of Holy Scripture, we do understand these books of the Old and New Testament, of whose authority was never any doubt in the church. Well, that's a bold statement, isn't it? Of whose authority there was never any doubt in the church. And Cranmer is looking back to when the scriptures were accepted by the church as a whole. And he knows that that very process was overseen by God. But he also knows that we will live in an environment where people don't always want to hear what the scriptures say. We see that, for instance, in verse 10 onwards. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul understands that the context that you and I will live in is one where people won't always want to hear what the Bible teaches. And we know that to be true. We know that's our context. And for Paul, he recognizes that because he taught what the Bible was about, he actually faced persecutions. And he says, actually, we shouldn't be surprised if that happens to us too, if we stand up for the truth of the Bible, the truth of the good news of Jesus. And later in our reading, he says, look, you'll see that there will become a times when people will not put up with sound doctrine. They will gather teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears from truth and turn aside to myths. Paul understands, you see, that if you and I are going to hold on to the truth of the Bible, the truth of the good news of Jesus, we need to know that it's true. Because if others are undermining it, unless we're utterly sure that the scriptures are true, that people like Whitfield and Cranmer and Tyndale didn't die in vain, if we are to know that the scriptures are true, if we're going to stand for the truth of scriptures, we need to know they're true. So the context you and I will live in will be a context where people will always or often want to take the scriptures and downplay what they say. So how do we know they're true? Well, there are many things you could say on that. The manuscript evidence, the consistency over 3,000 years, 66 books, 40 authors is unbelievable. The example of how Jesus used it. But Paul does not cover those things. He indeed says, look, this is why you know it's true. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul's point throughout to Timothy has actually been, we can trust the Scriptures because of who spoke it. He's done that again in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. Paul says that, look, because it was spoken by the apostles and the Old Testament prophets, we can trust what is in the scriptures. Jesus actually promises to his apostles that they will be led into all truth. Why? So they could tell us the truth. The people who first spoke the Bible gives us confidence that it's true, that it's trustworthy, that it's gifted to us by God. But Paul won't stop there. He doesn't just say we can trust it because of who spoke it. He says we can trust it because of who wrote it. All scripture is God-breathed. Paul is making the point that God is the ultimate author of Scripture. It is inspired by God. It's not inspired just in the sense of being above average, you know, like a Mozart or a Rembrandt or a Ronaldinho or a Ronaldo or something like that. Nor just does it have an inspiring effect on us, you know, when we read it and we go, wow, that's amazing. It means that God's word, all scripture is God-breathed. And the whole point about breath is it's a personal thing. Our breath is part of who we are. My breath is not your breath, is not your breath. Breath speaks of the very heart of the person. And when Paul says all scripture is God-breathed, he's saying it comes from the heart and the mouth of God. That's where breath is. Yes, it was written through human authors. Yes, for our good. Yes, with active cooperation from the apostles and prophets and others writers. But Paul wants us to be confident it's the truth because God wrote it. God's authorship gives the Bible both its reliability and its authority. I had a friend who was a bank manager. And unfortunately, one day, from the car park where he parked as he went to work, his car was stolen. And a week later, the police rang him up and said, we found your car. And he thought, oh, that's wonderful, they found my car, that's great. Then this is what the police said. I'm very sorry to inform you, it was used to rob another branch of the bank you work for. He went, what? He didn't believe it, and then he thought, it's the police. Now I know we're in a different world, but actually for him, and then he got the written evidence from the police that this is what had happened. Who spoke it and who wrote it gave him confidence it was true. Now in a much greater way, we can have utter confidence in the truth of the scriptures. We can know that they are trustworthy. Now, if that's the case, what are we going to do with them? Well, the first thing is we must let them do what God purposed for them to do. Verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the purpose of them. They are to equip us for every good work. As we read the scriptures, as the scriptures are explained to us, as the Spirit takes what is said and applies it to our heart, then we will find ourselves being thoroughly equipped. Isn't that lovely? Notice not partially equipped, a little equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What an amazing thing that is. Do you want to do what God wants you to do? Well, then the great news is God wants you to thoroughly equip you to do that. You're not in it on your own. That is just such an amazing thing. Isn't it awful when somebody's set a task and they're not thoroughly equipped to do it, so they're set up to fail? And God says, I'm not setting you up to fail. I'm setting you up to succeed. You and I, if we've understood how that the Bible is true, must let it do its work, thoroughly equip us for every good work. And that means we need to engage with it. We need to read it. We need to accept its authority. And notice what it's useful for: teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Well, I don't mind the teaching bit, and I don't mind the training in righteousness bit. I'm not quite so fond on the rebuking and correcting. That is slightly harder for me. But we know that experience, don't we? When we read something and we go, oh, Lord, I know that's what I did and it was wrong. The rebuke is there. Why? So that we won't do it again. The correction is to show us how we can now live as God wants us to. If we have understood the truth of the scriptures, then we have to let the scriptures do their work in our lives. And that means engaging with them. Engaging with them on a Sunday, engaging with them in a home group maybe, engaging with them at home on our own. And if that's something that you find difficult with, then please just, I'm going to have a list at the back and I forgot to do it. Next week there'll be a list to sign up and we'll get you some help so that you can actually engage on your own. But if we are to let the Word of God do the work that God intends it to do, to equip us for every good work, the second thing is if we know that it's true, then we have to be willing to give it the priority it deserves. In the presence of God, verse 1, and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Paul is teaching Timothy that he has to keep on going. Even when people don't particularly want to listen, we have to keep on going, trusting the Word of God, trusting the good news of Jesus, making sure that whether people particularly want to hear or not, we are a church family that sees the Word preached. But notice how it is to be preached. Yes, correct and rebuke, but also encourage with great patience and careful instruction. If we want to be the church family that God wants us to be, we need to have this commitment to continue in all our ministries to preach the word. We may do it in different ways, in different styles, in different situations, but we do it with great patience and careful instruction. We do it because we know it's true. We know that God transforms lives. We know that God thoroughly equips us. So often, it's easy for a church family to just begin to drift away from this. But God encourages us more and more to be those who are fully confident in the truth of the scriptures, fully committed to carrying on living them out, being the people God wants us to be. And so Paul says that that's been what he's about. Verse 10, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. And then in verse 6, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. What an amazing thing to be able to say. What would you love to be able to say on your deathbed? I'd love to be able to say this. I fought the good fight. Finished the race, kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Paul's not being arrogant here. He just knows that that's the promise of God. If you and I are going to take seriously what God calls us to, as individuals and as a church family, we have to be those who see that the scripture is the Bible is God-breathed, that it will equip us for every good work, that it must be our priority. Because if that's the truth, then we will be able to say, I have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. What an amazing thing that will be to say. Today, will you commit yourself to re-engaging with God's word, to letting it do its work in your life. Perhaps for a while you've let that drift. Or today, come back. Come back and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to meet with you. I want you to thoroughly equip me for every good work. In one of our home groups I'm privileged to be part of, we were talking about how actually it's quite hard to engage with the Bible, to read it daily. And I was really helped. I used to not be very good at that. And I was really helped when a person said to me this, don't think about reading the Bible every day. Think about meeting with your Heavenly Father who loves you. Then you'll want to open your Bible. I found it was so different. Now I wasn't trying to tick a list that I'd done my Bible reading. Now I was thinking, what a privilege to engage with my Heavenly Father who wants to thoroughly equip me for every good work. Why wouldn't we do that? Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you breathed out your word so that we could trust that it was true. Thank you that as we engage with it, you do thoroughly equip us for every good work. So help us to take time with you and help us to experience that teaching, rebuking, correcting and training. Help us as a church family of Christ Church St. Andrews to be committed to your word being central to all we do. So that you are central to all we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to